You wear makeup so well, it's hard to tell you have any on. It reminded me when you're talking about dressing, little kids dressing. Many years ago when I had a church early, I was up there preaching and I looked down and I happened to, because I always had a stash of shoes depending on what's going on. I had one red pair on, or one red one, and one black one. So I did not veer outside of the pulpit. But in deference to me, I worked with a gal who said her mother came to work not only with two different color shoes, but they were on the wrong foot. So, you know, anything's possible. Jesus, your name is power.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is light. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives life. Your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings life. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is power.
Merciful and mild.
Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. This is holy ground.
Sing that first verse one more time. And what I want you to think about is if in this moment you were standing, which we are, before the holiness of God, in his temple, in his presence, how prepared would you feel? How prepared would you feel? Let's think about that as we sing this. Father, we come before you and we are so grateful that you invite us in through your Son and that we can come in wherein we cry, Abba, Father, that we are coming to our Daddy, where, Lord, there is joy evermore. But I pray, Lord, also that you would remind us today, our God is a holy God. We don't come in our antics, in our effort, in our pride, in our wisdom, in our understanding at all. We come in knowing that the most glorious one of all has ushered us in, and he didn't send a servant. He allows us to know him personally. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Hover over us, Lord, I pray, in the holiness of this moment to understand what holiness really is. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is People's Choice, Holiness. Another big subject. How many are glad that God doesn't have small subjects? They're deep. They're wide. You can see them on the surface. But you continue to unveil and get those layers off to see them in a deeper way than you ever imagined. You know, throughout most of the 20th century and 19th, and probably even in today's world, people equate holiness with looking somber, wearing dark clothes, not smiling, and looking very holy. Now, I remember seeing a lady like that back in my Bible school days. I prayed for her, and I still pray for her. But here's my thought. I saw her, and I thought, you would no more inspire me to want to become a Christian. You look like you died. That's the way I interpreted it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with black, a great color. And being a little simplistic is probably better than being extreme on the other end. But people began to equate holiness with what you wore and what was a physical view. Do you know, many, many years ago, you couldn't wear jewelry in the Wesleyan Church, and I'm sure many of the holiness churches. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I'm glad I wasn't around then. Because I love jewelry. I understand the reasoning. But that doesn't make you holy. Now, it could indicate to people what your belief system is, how you view life. People will acknowledge it that way. So it can be a way to demonstrate to the world, but it doesn't change your relationship to the Father. It doesn't have that kind of power. So then I thought, you know, for these people that are so somber, that really look like they need the victory, and they're in darkness and this kind of thing, and I'm not kidding, that woman looked like somebody just shot her. It was just, and yet she came up and said, I'm so happy in the Lord. I said, well, then tell your face, because you don't look like it. But think of this. God's creation is full of what? Full of color, right? Some of the most fantastic color you'll see put together, God did in the birds, in the changing of the seasons. It's just fabulous. You look at all the bright, beautiful colors. God has done wonderful things under the sea, hasn't he? Some of the most exquisite, delicate things in that creation. And a lot of it is so that they can hide and be protected from the predators. God gives us great movement. God gives great color. God gives great, he has great taste, folks. He created you. So that's good taste, isn't it? On balance, always keep balance in the Word of God, okay? That's where people get in trouble. They think holiness is about what you wear, so they go to that end degree, and then over here they're yelling at people. You can't do that. That doesn't reveal the nature of the Father. On the other hand, you can't be on this side saying, you know, Jesus loves you, and I look like I live in the world, and I look like I'm part of the world. That's probably not the best reflection of the Master either. So again, just balance. Holiness, is it wearable? Is it something you have to put on? I have a couple of verses here that I'm going to highlight. I'll do them one at a time. Apparently they studied this in Norm's Sunday school class, this verse this morning, and I told him he can come up and preach it if he wants to. He declined. But Hebrews 12, 14. How many have thought through your life that holiness just kind of falls on you? Just kind of falls. That'd be like saying, I get up in the morning and I'm going to get dressed. It's just going to somehow jump on top of me. You know, that's going to just, it's going to button up right. It's all going to look fine. It's just going to drop correctly. No, you participate in holiness. Because God's not going to shove it down your throat. He wants us to participate in it. So Hebrews 12, 14. And I think this is a very interesting verse. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Do you think for a minute that when you stand before the Lord in the presence of God in eternal beauty, that it's going to matter what you're wearing? Or if you have jewelry on or not? No, it's going to matter what your heart is. It's going to matter what your insides are, because God judges the heart. He judges the interior. Not that the outside's not important, but in holiness, it starts on the inside. And so in this verse, it's an extremely important thing, and I know you probably aren't thinking this way, but I like to follow where the Bible goes. That's my map. Did you know that you cannot have true holiness in your life if you don't have peace with people? Do you know that? Why? Because if there's any kind of issue, if there's some kind of break in a relationship, it's going to ultimately break your relationship to God. It is. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Includes women, by the way. And to be holy, meaning they're connected. That's what it means. It didn't say or be holy. It said and. They're connected. So peace in the Greek is pronounced Irene. And I like that because in the middle of the word is the word ray. You know, when you have the peace of God and the peace of man, you have a ray in your life, you have the ray of the light of God that comes into your soul that you don't get when there's a breakage. You know what happens? If you have a person in front of your relationship to God, you've cut off the light. You've cut off the light. You want that cleared. And this word means peace of mind. It means to be one. Again, here's the illustration of the Trinity. As they are one, we should be one. There should be a oneness. There should be unity. And it says peace, quietness, and rest. It comes from a word, iro, meaning to join or tie together unto wholeness. Tied to what? Tied to God. Who else is going to give you the first bit of peace? Excuse me. It means when all essential parts are joined together, you have peace, you have wholeness, and you have holiness. First of all, what's peace? Peace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. You can't have peace unless you know Christ. But then he wants us to make sure we pursue peace with all men. And the word pursue in the Greek means this. It means to put to flight. It's like a hunter with a prize. It's like Donnie up north trying to catch his little buggers, you know. And he's got his eyes on them, and he's all excited. He says, I'd like to get some kind of camera stuff and start taping some of that to see what's up there. I think he should turn it on himself and see his face. That's what I would like to see. To be in pursuit of peace. You think peace is going to fall on top of you? No. You have to make part of it. Jesus did everything he could do to give us the peace in the first place. He wants us to pursue peace with all men. And it means to make every effort. And then it says to pursue holiness. Pursue peace and holiness. This word for holiness means consecration, sanctification, and holiness. And sanctification has the same root as sacred, sanctuary, all of the top words there, folks. It means our life should be a sanctuary for God. A sanctuary. A holy place for the presence of Almighty God. You know, you can tell who lives in your house by how your house is organized or lack thereof or whatever, by what's on the walls or what's on the floor maybe. But you can tell the personality of the person that lives there. What do we say about God to the world? You're all laughing because you're thinking, boy, I'm glad nobody's in my house. But what do we tell the world when they see us? You know, you witness the nature of God just by who you are. That's why God wants us to be holy. It means the process of being set apart. There's a process of holiness. And what it means is every time you go forward, God is working on setting us apart from this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And that's really important to remember. Don't wait for peace or holiness to come to you. Pursue it. Get aggressive about it. If I said to you, your paycheck's out on the back table, you know you'd run over each other to get it. You know you would. Because you want to make sure nobody gets yours. Or maybe you'd prefer to get someone else's. But nonetheless, you'd pursue it because it's in your best interest. It's in our best interest to pursue peace with people. It is in our best interest to pursue holiness. It really is. The effect of it here, by the way, is this. In your heart and your life. Did you know that holiness is inward, outward? It starts inside? That was the problem of people just wearing a certain hat and having dark clothes and looking very somber. You know, if that's your style, God bless you, that's great. But that's not holiness, because holiness comes from the inside. It has to turn the light on first. It has to turn the light on. Who lives there? Whose house is this? Who does this reflect? And then it'll ultimately touch. How many of you, just by a raise of hands, since you've become a Christian, God has definitely moved things out of your life. He's changed things. You're not the same person you were. Absolutely. Now, who could do that on your own? You kidding? When I became a Christian, if the Lord would have said, you're going to end up this, I'd go, okay, see you later. Yeah, it wouldn't have interested me at all, probably. It comes from the inside, and then it goes outside. And it says, and this is important, without which no one will see the Lord. You cannot come in God's presence in our own nature. It's not scripture. It's not happening. That's why he gave us his blood. That's why he gave us his son, so we could come in boldly. But ultimately, this is talking about you will not see the Lord. Ultimately. And that word see means to see, perceive, attend to, look upon, and experience. What we're talking about is a word that's close to another word that is the same word we use for optical. And it means to see and to stare into his face. Do you know how close you have to get to so you can stare? You don't like to stare. It's not polite to stare. But to be that close where you're so intent on his face. And guess what, folks? When the Lord allows us in his presence through his holiness, we're allowed to see him. You cannot look on God. You can't even look on the physical sun. We don't have that capability to do that. So we have to go through a process of getting ready for that moment when we see him. And the first part of it is peace. The second part is the holiness. So then I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter, and 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 to 18. This is a portion of scripture that begins by telling people, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. You know what that means? That means the yoke they would put on the animal. Do not be yoked to this world, to the wrong folks, to wrong associations. Doesn't mean you shouldn't witness to people. Doesn't mean you can't even care about them. What it means is don't get tied up to them. If you get tied up to people that are not living for Christ, guess what? They're going to take you down. Very, very rarely do you see somebody lift them up. Generally, they take you down. But we'll go down to the 17th verse. And actually, I'll go back to 16 just because I feel like it. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now here's the kicker. Therefore, always check in the Bible what the therefore is there for. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Within that is a great promise. I will be a father to you. Now, if the gods in the world, and the gods in many nations, and the gods of many religions, they don't have a father. What they have is a stump of clay or a stump of wood someplace that they bow down to and give all their life to, and it gives them nothing back. There's no life in those statues. So in that sense, we set ourselves apart. But it's not lifting up of pride because we're not doing it ourselves. God is helping us to do it. And it's a choice to show the world holiness and life and thought, word, and deed. The word come out, the phrase, means to go out, come out, come out of society and out of the company of and from among the people in the world. How many, when you get home, and I know different people have different jobs and experiences, but you just have to get rid of what's on you. Yeah? I remember when Vernita was, when we were working at event sales, and she became, well, she was allergic to the stuff that they clean the carpets with. And for a long time, even after she left the company, I'd come home and I'd have to immediately change. Sometimes I washed my hair because it was just hanging in there and it was causing her distress. Let me tell you, the uncleanness of the world is going to try to attach itself to you. Every time I've spent time, people that are, not only don't know the Lord but are very anti, I always go and say, Lord, cleanse me, just cleanse me. Because you don't realize what can be coming. And that's not to say anything bad about the people. If they don't know the Lord, they don't know any different. We're supposed to know different and be somebody different. So it means come out from them. How many know you cannot live in two worlds? You're going to choose one. And the problem with this world is it looks very inviting, at least when you're young. But it has bad teeth when it gets done. It just tears you to pieces. Not a good thing. And so it says, come out from their midst. Come out from the middle. And this stood out to me because I thought, you know, in the scripture, if you see down through the New Testament in particular talking about Jesus, you will see this. He came from their midst. He was in their midst. They were looking to him. He was in the midst. Jesus is the middleman. He is the mediator. He is the one between heaven and earth so that we can come to know the Heavenly Father. You know what we need to do? We need to get the world out of the midst of our life and put Jesus in the center. Because we're in the center or the world's in the center. And it's very sad to me that there's a lot of people that want to live like the devil but go to heaven with Jesus. It doesn't work like that. We need to look like him. From the midst and be separate. This is an interesting word. A horizo. It means to mark off by boundaries. Boundaries. It's where you get the word horizon. There's a boundary. You can't see beyond the horizon, but you know that there is definite movement back there. We can't see what God wants to do, but we know one thing. He's telling us, separate yourself from this world by their belief systems, by their behavior, by their culture, and all of that. Separate it from a boundary. And touch not the unclean thing. Do you know in the Old Testament, if somebody had any kind of disease, you couldn't come near them. They had to call out and say they were unclean. That would be like in today's world, somebody with Ebola. They should cry out and say, I got Ebola. Don't come near. I could sneeze on you and you could get it. Because it's being transmitted significantly quicker than they anticipated. and everybody knows it, and it's worse than we probably think. Touch not the unclean thing. Unclean in the Greek is a word that means impure, unclean, but it means more than that. It means it's not pure because it's mixed, it's intermingled. Do you know how many people, and I'm sure churches and different facilities, think, I'm going to win the world, so I'm going to take Christianity and I'm going to jump it on top of this particular belief system or this type of action, and then I'm going to bring people in because they think it's Christian. Did you know that if you add anything to Christian, you've just taken Christian out of it? Christ doesn't take second place. That'd be like saying, and I, you know, forgive me if you've ever been involved in this, but I've heard Christian yoga. They are two different belief systems. Yoga has history and source in Middle Eastern and Eastern philosophy. It's not a neutral opinion. It has a spirit behind it. Now, if you want to do some of your exercise and stretching, that's great. But the intention would be to allow the belief system to slide in with the exercise. That's like years ago, I went into a natural store, and I just thought it was hilarious because, you know, they put chocolate on top of all the natural stuff. And granted, chocolate is the fifth food group, I agree. And it solves many problems. But I thought to myself, you stick chocolate on top of something and you call it healthy. Of course, if it's dark chocolate, it's more healthy, I think. Why don't you just give them a Milky Way bar and have it over with? Just do that. I said, I ain't doing that. Touch not the unclean thing. The word touch means to handle and touch. And let me tell you what it really means. It means that while you touch it, it modifies you. It changes you. When you are touched by something unclean, it will affect your life. You won't affect theirs, but it'll affect you. And that's the sad part. And Ebola really is a living example of that. Pray for the people that are infected. Pray for those that are serving. Pray for those that are trying to find help and teach them and all of the things that are going on in the different areas. And more, and just as important, let's pray that the governments and the boundaries of the United States are protected from people coming in infected. They're not paying attention. That's a side thing. That's not in the message. But pray for that. And why is it important to touch not the unclean thing? I will welcome you, the Bible says. I will welcome you. This is talking about the Almighty. And the Greek word means to admit, to welcome, and to receive into their favor. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad the Lord's not going to go, oh, you again? Didn't I see you before? You know, the joy of seeing you is long gone. I just love it when you come to someone's house and they're actually happy to see you, as opposed to, oh, they came over again. God welcomes us with open arms, with great grace and great favor. That's what he wants. But remember, he's a holy God. He cannot touch the impure. And if it's all over you and it hasn't been cleansed, that's going to be a major problem. So it says here, the Almighty will receive you. This word Almighty means the ruler, of course, of the earth, of the universe. And I thought about it because it said, and I will be a father to sons and daughters. And it reminded me of the Old Testament word for Almighty God, which is El Shaddai. And what that means is El is the Hebrew word for the God of the nations, and Shaddai comes from the word Shad for breasted one. It means the masculine and feminine nature of God, and his love, his protection, his strength is all together in the Almighty. And he allows the sons and the daughters to come to him. According to law in the Old Testament, only the male could get the inheritance. I got news for you. In Christ, there's no male or female. There's no bond or free. There's no Jew or Greek. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be up here. I can guarantee you that. Aren't you glad he gives you equal rights at the cross? Thank God. Final scripture, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Ending with that one, that promise. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I always say, when you see the therefore, see what the therefore is there for. It's talking about the promises of God. The word promise means not only a promise, but it means a summons. How many know what a summons is? You get a summons, you got to respond to it. It's a legal document that says you have to appear before the court, whether you like it or not. The promises of God are pure and they're true. And he always answers and is faithful to his word. I'm so glad. This summons was signed in the blood of Jesus, in his name. And that is what he has given us. So it says, based on the fact of the promises, how many are glad that we're living for Christ and wanting to become holy people, not based on threats, but based on promises? It's a big difference. So you're going to live the way I want you to, or I'm going to throw you off the end of the earth. Now, that may motivate you, but I can guarantee you it will not delight you. It's a difference between devotion and duty. You'll do it out of duty, but you will not have devotion. God wants a devotion with us. He wants a love relationship. He wants to say, I've got promises for you, and I'll fulfill them, but I can't touch all this. So we need to purify ourselves from contamination. How many know there's a lot of townhouses and different buildings that are built on contaminated sites? Would that be good to know when you decide if you're going to live there? Gee, sir, I would really love to have a formation on my couch coming from something under the ground. I don't think so. Protect yourself from contamination, and to do that, you purify yourself. The word means to cleanse, purify, and remove all intermingling of filth. Again, we cannot be in the world and of it. You got to choose. You're going to be in the world or you're going to be of Christ. We're in the world to be a testimony, but we're not to be of it. Not in any case. It says, purify yourself from these stains, malasmos. That word means defilement and stain and pollution. Pollution. How many of you have driven through California? I've never had the pleasure. But I understand on a good day in Los Angeles, the brown is dark. How do you like to drive through dark brown junk? Imagine what it's doing to your lungs. Not to mention your hair, but especially your lungs. Do not mix Christianity with anything. Do not throw it on top of something. It needs to be pure. It absolutely has to be pure. And then it says to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And this word perfect means to complete, accomplish, and to be perfect. Now, this word comes from two words, epi, which means honor upon, and teleo means to bring to an end and fulfill. It's where we get the word television and telescope. You know what that means? When you look through that little lens and you see that big picture tube, or some people who was telling me about the 60-inch TV they're getting. Well, I think you should watch it from across the street, personally. But you look through that little lens and you see the big picture. And that's what this is talking about. Perfect holiness, the holiness of the state of being. This word holiness means a holy or a sanctified state. The other word means the process of holiness. This is talking about the ultimate holiness, which is to be perfect in the sight of God. To be perfect in the sight of God. How do we do this? Out of fear of God. Out of fear. And this word phobia, or phobos. You know, I don't know about you, but I think when you're on the top of a mountain, to have a phobia of fear of heights might be important, so you don't get cocky and fall off. Now, when you're on the ground, should you have a fear of heights? Probably not. I think it can be useful. We need to have a fear of God. That, in my opinion, is what's missing from most churches and most Christianity. We're afraid of people. We're afraid to offend people. We're afraid to do this. We're afraid to do that. Nobody's afraid to disappoint God. Nobody's afraid of the majesty on high. He could flick us off without even thinking of it, but he's not like that. He wants us to be holy by process and by a final state before him. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he wants us. That's the important thing. He didn't have to do anything for us, but he wanted us so bad, he made the price himself. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. First of all, in holiness is the idea of peace. You have to have peace with people. But let me backtrack to the first thing, is peace with God. If you're here today, you can't be holy if you don't have a relationship with God in the first place. And if you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I'm kind of the king of my castle or the queen. And I want to stay in the midst. I want to stay in power. But my friend, I guarantee you, you're not in power. And you're yielding the power in the wrong place. But you'd say today, pray for me. I don't want to miss the most important person in creation and life who could actually give me a purpose for living. And then one day when I see him, I will know it's not based on my righteousness. It's based on his process in my life and what he's working and what I allow him to do. And you'd say, pray for me. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, please raise your hand so I can pray for you. I don't want to miss you. Eternity doesn't want to miss you. Eternity is a long time for a mistake, folks. So then with your eyes closed, if you're here and you'd say, I've got people, to be honest, that are in the way of how I see God. It can be from years ago and it can be recent. You cannot have holiness if you don't have peace in your heart, because there's no oneness, no tying together of God into your life when something is severing it. And you'd say today, pray for me. I need to pursue peace. I need to make the effort, not wait for them to come. Do the Christian thing. And you'd say, pray for me. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you. This is really important, folks. Absolutely. And then finally, if you're here and you'd say, you know, I got to admit, if I looked in a mirror, spiritual mirror, I look more like the world than I do like Christ. I spend more time thinking about the things in the world. I spend more time attached to it. I'm more influenced by it, and I care more about it. But that's not your future, because this world is going to pass away. And we can see it disintegrating as we're here. Get rid of the intermingling of the filth of this world. It is a contaminated site, this whole earth, spiritually. And say, Father God, I don't want to mix anything with your pure holiness. Help me, Lord, to separate myself from the things, Lord, that are keeping me from knowing you in a greater way. And you'd say, pray for me. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know every life and every heart and every circumstance, and you know the things that we don't even acknowledge because we don't think it applies to us. Father, Holy Spirit, you speak to us, Lord, in our own life and say, thou art the man, thou art the woman, whatever the case might be. I pray especially, Lord, that you would restore relationships. I pray that the peace of God and the peace with people will come forward so that that ray of light can enter into our lives. I ask you, Lord, for those that have the contamination upon them or are spending too much time in the world and thoughts of the world. Father God, the world is an enemy of God, the Bible says. Help us to be a friend instead and say, Lord, you affect me more than this world. I need you to show your nature to me so that I can grow in holiness. For one day I will see you. And of course, as we say, everyone's going to heaven, but not everybody's staying there. May we go today knowing we've made our life right with Christ. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for your name to be honored. In Jesus' name. Let's end with, take time to be holy. It takes time, doesn't it? It's not something you can't put Botox on it. You can't suck it out of your face. You got to spend time with the Lord. Take time. Please. Sunday's message, People's Choice, is going to be How to Know the Will of God. Title will be, Are You in the Will? Are you in the will? Okay, keep that in mind. Now, I'm going to ask whoever feels impressed to close in prayer. Can be a gentleman or a lady. I don't want to force anybody. And if nobody prays, we'll still be here at supper. So, no, I'm kidding. So please. So somebody pray out.